Hello and welcome to another edition of the Windy City Chronicle podcast. I am your host, Thomas Gibbons. Today we will have Jacob Infante on with us. Jacob is a writer for the Windy City Gridiron on sports, SB Nation. He is also a now Bulls managing editor for a new website called rotoden.com. He had his debut article out today. You can find him on Twitter at JacobInfante24. He is also a national editor for Cover32.com, which is an NFL site that covers all 32 teams. On today's show, Jacob and I will do a quick wrap-up of OTAs and minicamp and the storylines and biggest news coming out of Lake Forest. Then we'll talk about some guys on the roster bubble, who's, you know, in and around that area of possibly getting cut or who we think will get cut. Guys on the bubble, I think, and Jacob will talk about a bit more. Guys like Kyle Fuller, Bobby Massey, possibly Lamar Houston. So there's a lot of guys that, you know, are right there on the border of either making the team or not making the team. And then we'll also talk about our breakout players for the season, and I'm sure other topics will come up in and around the show. So now let's bring on Jacob. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Thomas. How's it going?
Good. How about you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it just started storming outside my house, so what better time to dig in and talk about some Bears?
Totally agree. It's always a good time to talk some Bears football. Well, glad to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
Before we get into some of the things about the show, why don't you tell the listeners about what you're doing right now on Windy City Gridiron with your 30-day challenge?
All right. So I just joined Windy City Gridiron almost a month ago already. So, and one of the monthly things we're doing is a 30-day challenge where every day our staff picks a topic related to the Bears and, you know, discusses them and, you know, invite participation from the viewers. Like, I have one coming up that is, the most depressing Bears moment, which is, you know, just stuff that encourages viewership participation. We'll have, like, favorite Bears team, favorite Bears, you know, running back, quarterback, receiver. I just had one out today that's current player on another team who you wish was on the Bears. So we have a lot of good stuff coming out this month.
Yeah, definitely great stuff. Yeah, the one today. I'm going to leave it up to you guys, the listeners, to go and see which player on another team Jacob would like. And I'm sure that everyone would 100% agree on the player that he chose, for it's an impact player and something the Bears desperately need for their position at this player, their position is not, he's desperately needed on this Bears roster right now.
Yeah. You can check that out at WindyCityGridiron.com. Shameless plug there, but, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah. So everyone, either while you're listening or after the podcast, you can go check out Jacob's stuff. A lot of great stuff on that. And Jacob, you know, even though this is a Bears podcast, Jacob is also writing for a new website, Rotoden. He's a Bulls editor there, and he has a piece out today, his debut article about is super teams good or bad for the NBA. He talks pros, cons, and then he gets the website's view of it. So a lot of good stuff that Jacob is putting out there, and for sure, give him a follow. He's on Twitter at JacobInfante24.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. So let's get right into it. The mini camp are over. The Bears now head into the summer break before reporting to camp on July 26th. One of the biggest storylines coming out of Lake Forest at House Hall was the end of mini camp when Leonard Floyd said that it took him almost 2 months to recover from his concussion on Christmas Eve. It's obviously not something you want to hear, But, you know, in one retrospect, it's part of the game. But in another, you just wonder how severe it was that it took him 2 months to say to himself that he was 100%. Jacob, as a Bears fan, Bears writer, whatever, how concerned are you that it took 2 months for Leonard Floyd to recover?
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna go ahead and say that it's the end of the world for him, but it's definitely something that should be monitored throughout the season, something that should be of a concern for the Bears staff, because Leonard Floyd is, as of now, he's the best piece for the future that the Bears have on their defense. So when something that concerning pops up about him, then that's something you definitely have to be concerned about. It's not something I panic about, but it's something I keep in mind.
Yeah, I'm not at the panic level either, but it's definitely a cause for concern for his health right now and his future health, and especially being a first-round pick. You know, he's one of the most valued guys on the roster. You want to get the best production out of him as long as make sure that he's healthy. And during OTAs and minicamp, there was no reports of him having, you know, head problems or anything of that nature regarding his injury that happened last season. So that's a good sign. And it's also he, you know, it might set him back for that 2 months, but he did what you know, everyone's saying is he did have a good off season. He put on some more weight, which is big considering he was not the thickest guy last season as a rookie, but it's always room for improvement. And I think he's going to definitely be in for a big year as long as he stays healthy, as a lot goes for a lot of the Bears players on the rosters. It's to stay healthy and stay on the field because, you know, the sky's the limit for a lot of the players, especially guys like Floyd and McPhee, and if Mr. Cruz can be healthy and produce like he did a couple of years ago, then it'll be a good signing out of him. Talking about Victor Cruz, what were your initial thoughts when the Bears signed him?
Well, the inner fan in me was happy just because Victor Cruz was a big name, but thinking about it, it's not going to be an earth-shattering addition by any means. I think he could end up being a solid contributor. I don't think he's going to return to his days of old by any means, but I think that on a team that needs a wide receiver as much as the Bears do, like, they have a lot of all right players. They don't have any stars, so that really makes the competition a bit more wide open, and I think that Victor Cruz could definitely turn some heads if he is able to return a little bit, at least, to his prior form.
Yeah, I agree. When it was seen that Victor Cruz came to visit a house hall, and I wasn't overly excited, but I wasn't, you know, like, what are the Bears doing? I understand. We've seen through Ryan Pace's signings in the past couple seasons. You know, he's going to target those big names, but he's also going to, you know, target guys like Victor Cruz and you know, Akeem Hicks, Marcus Wheaton, Quinton Demps. You know, guys that might be a little bit older, but definitely have some experience under them. So, and then it goes to Cruz is on. It's a 1 year deal, I believe, right?
Off the top of my head, I'm not so sure. I think it's a 1 year deal. That's something I can go check on right now.
Yes, 1 year deal, like many other Bears players are in a 1 year deal for guys like Cruz to prove it that they can be on the roster. They can be on the roster and produce and then earn another payday after their numbers are what they used to be, or, you know, help the Bears win games. So, yeah, we'll see if Dr. Cruz. I think right now, just saying, because minicamp and OTAs don't tell you a lot, I think Victor Cruz will still have to battle for a roster spot. The Bears signed Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright, and they're also they like Daniel Braverman a lot. You know, the coaches always praise his work ethic and, you know, determination and, you know, being a team player. And he made some plays last year in training camp that were notable from the media standpoint. So I guess it's all about how much he's grown as a player, how much weight he's put on, stuff like that, playbook, to see if he can compete for a roster spot.
Yeah, I believe that Braverman, I don't know. But I believe that he's going to have to have a good training camp again like he did last year, especially now that there's a lot more, you know, competition near the bottom of the roster. And one guy that you didn't mention was Tanner Gentry, the undrafted free agent out of Wyoming. I think that, like, he, in a sense, is this year's Braverman in the fact that like he's getting a lot of hype from the media, and a lot of people are thinking that, oh, he could be a sleeper to, you know, end up getting a roster spot. So yeah, there's a lot of competition at the position this year, so, and I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, Gentry totally slipped my mind. I remember I was able to, I think you were too, able to interview him and write a post on him. And
yeah,
he did for a lot of other people too. So yeah, definitely he's got some highlight tape out of Wyoming. He, you know, his quarterback Josh Allen again is one of the maybe could be the number one overall pick in next year's draft, one of the top QBs in the draft. So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, I think again the Bears do need a lot of attention at the wide receiver position given they lost Alshon Jeffrey. And Kevin White's only played in 4 games in 2 seasons. So they need guys there they're going to play and be able to help the production of what they lost in Alshon Jeffrey and stuff like that, and other players like him.
Yeah, and the two guys that were on the roster last year that a lot of people tend to be counting out already are Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson. Like, with all these new additions, a lot of people are just assuming they're going to, you know, be get rid of, but there's a possibility that they have that trust already. They know the system more than a lot of the newer guys. So, again, they're probably long shots in the long run, but that a lot of people are counting them out, and they're two names to watch as we get closer to training camp.
I think Josh Bellamy is I believe he's a lock to make the roster because of what he does to the special teams unit. He's one of the big special teams along with Sherrod McManus. Those two are kind of like the so-called leaders. You know, if you give special teams captains, I think those guys are it. Bellamy made a lot of plays last year on kickoff, and he also helps out on punt turn and stuff like that, or, you know, punt as a gunner. But I think he's almost guaranteed to be a lock. I think Deontay Thompson all depends on if he can be a productive receiver and how he is, like, health-wise and stuff like that, if he can help in the return game. But I think why the Bears looked at, you know, signed guys like they got Cunningham, former Rams, and then now they have Betty Jackson to be possibly, you know, returners. So I think Bellamy's a lock where Thompson has to work a little more because there's more wide receivers signed, and, you know, Gentry and Braverman are really gonna try and push him out of there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. I mean, I'm not as confident as you that Bellamy will end up making the roster just because there are a lot of other guys that possibly have more value as receivers. Again, I could see him making the roster, but in the end, I'm not so sure it happens. And Thompson, he's been serviceable as a returner. He hasn't been anything special. I mean, like you said, they did bring in a lot of new guys who could possibly fill that kick-returner role. They could possibly even develop Tariq Cohen into a returner, even though he doesn't have much special teams experience in college. That could be a name that they could possibly, you know, develop and get him into that kick-return role if they want, you know.
Yeah, again, he's a shifty back. Small, which, you know, can be an advantage as we've seen in the past with other players his size, like Julian Edelman or, you know, Ray Rice. There's plenty of players that, you know, don't have the so-called, you know, NFL body, but they can still be productive. Of course, Cohen draws the Darren Sproles comparison for, you know, his shiftiness and speed and the ability that could be used in the offense and team. Another note on Bellamy. I think, you know, when it comes down to it, you have your wide receiver depth chart wants to be all guys that could be serviceable, you know, and catch routes. And I know Bellamy has had a problem dropping passes in his NFL career. But you need those special team studs. And I know, you know, the roster is only so big at 53 guys. But you know, there's all, you know, the reporters and, you know, just the overall outlook of the NFL roster. You want to have guys that, you know, could help at both, but you still want to have those special team studs. Like McManus is going to, you know, he's going to fill a cornerback depth chart spot. Josh Bellamy, wide receiver. Sam Acho is going to fill a linebacker spot, but he's mostly going to be on special teams. So, you obviously, yes, you want the most guys possible, but then you also want, you also need those special team guys to help you in the third phase of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from with that. Like, obviously, they have a handful of special teams guys. Like, that's the reason Acho's on the roster. He's certainly not on it for his abilities at linebacker. I remember seeing that he had the lowest PFF grade out of the Bears front seven last year. But, yeah, I think guys like Acho and McManus are, you know, they're more safe, I'd say, to make the roster. But, yeah, I see where you're coming from that you need guys that can also help out on special teams as well as offense or defense.
So let's just transition to the next phase of the podcast. You were talking before the show, possibly one of the topics we could talk about was people on – guys on the roster bubble, you know, guys who are who we view as probable cuts, but you know, if they have a big camp, could, you know, turn themselves into a player who sticks on the 53-man roster. So I'll go first. I'm going to give three players that I believe are on the roster bubble, and then you can do the same. Three guys I think are on the bubble. I think one of them is widely known as a guy who could not stick around for much longer is Kyle Fuller. Another player I think who is on the bubble is I think Bob Massey is on the bubble. The Bears drafted Jordan Morgan. They signed Tom Compton as a guy who can play both tackles. So I know O-lineman is very important for depth, but I think Massey, given that last season was not very good. He didn't really start well, but he finished well. He's definitely going to have to compete in camp. And then another guy I think, you know, could be on that border is maybe Jeremy Langford. I'm not really too sure. You know, again, we're not even in training camp yet in some preseason games, but, you know, given, you know, his small production last season and Jordan Howard getting the majority of the time out of the backfield, I think the Bears could move in a different direction, you know, with using Howard and then Cunningham and Cohen for more of a, you know, a versatile backfield rather than Langford, who didn't really have, you know, the best season last year.
Yeah, I definitely agree that those guys will be fighting for a spot. In the end, I think, you know, Langford will stay on, and Massey probably will. I definitely don't see Fuller staying around for that long. Because at this point, he's already entering, fourth year, I think, in the NFL now? Yeah, fourth year. And I just don't think that he's proven enough to stay on that roster spot, and the fact that he's coming back from an injury, which he definitely could have played in the middle of near the end of the season. So there's a bit of, you know, distrust there. But yeah, overall, I don't really think Fuller's going to stay on the coming season.
No, yeah, I think Fuller could. I think he's the biggest guy that, unless he, you know, just blows the staff away, or, you know, unfortunately, if someone else gets hurt, then he sticks on the roster. Entering his fourth year, he had a great rookie season. Everyone thought that he was going to be a stud. A little bit of a drop-off in his second year, and then third season, minor knee scope turned into a season-long IR trip, which the coaching staff did not think was going to happen. And, you know, again, like Vic Fangio said last December, he just didn't have the will to come back. And that's, I mean, he was chewing him out in that press conference. And that doesn't have, you know, that's not a good sign for a guy returning to the Bears this season and his, and is hopeful on making the team. And just overall, I think Fuller has to really, you know, outperform other guys on the roster. The Bears signed Marcus Cooper, Prince Mukamura, DeAndre Hall. We'll see if he's really improved from year one to year two. And again, he could be a big guy where the Bears, you know, value him a lot. And he could, you know, play a major role as like maybe the third corner and get, you know, a good amount of reps. So then that pushes Fuller out even more. So there were not really any big reports from OTAs or minicamp of how Fuller was doing. You know, the media usually tells about a couple guys every day who stood out or made a good catch or something like that. And Fuller wasn't one of those guys. You know, you think that people want to hear about him right away, or the media wants to tell you about him right away, given he missed all last season. So I think, yeah, he's definitely one guy who might not be here next season.
I have to agree with you to the regular season roster.
No. Talking about next player on the show description, Bobby Massey, really wasn't the biggest sign-in at tackle last off season, but, you know, he didn't really play that poorly. Beginning of the season, you know, he didn't really play well, but toward the end of the season, you know, reporters and the coaches said that he kind of turned it around. He's a much better run blocker than a pass blocker. That's for sure. Just take a watch of him. But again, the Bears drafted Jordan Morgan, who they coached at the Senior Bowl. They signed Tom Compton. And who knows if the Bears' O-line shakes up? We really don't know. I mean, they reported that Josh Sitt and Kyle Long are going to switch guards and practice at both, and it's still uncertain which guard they will play. But, you know, if someone goes down or something, Kyle Long at tackle again, that's a possibility. Is Hronis Grisou going to get any time? Is he going to compete for a job? Is he going to play somewhere outside of center? You know, there's a lot of possibilities on the Bears' O-line front that could be pushing guys like Bobby Massey or even Charles Leno Jr. out the door. So do you think Massey will make the roster? Is he a bubble guy or not?
I think he'll be fine for this season, just looking at the competition they have. They have some decent guys, like you mentioned, Tom Compton, Jordan Morgan, also Bradley Soule, who I believe started a few games for the Seahawks last year. Not saying much because, you know, Seahawks, but, you know, he's still a serviceable backup who has starting experience. But if you look at it, I don't think any of those guys are really much of a big threat to take his job. I think Massey will at least stay on this year. I mean, if the Bears pick up a tackle in free agency or they – you know, draft one early on, then I could see it. But as of now, I don't think that they have any formidable threat. Like, if they were to cut Massey, I don't think they have a reliable replacement or anything like that.
Yeah, but they didn't, you know, land a top tackle in free agency or anything like that. So they're really, again, like you said, I agree, there's no one really threatening his job, but, you know, who knows who steps up and who doesn't, you know, in camp. Compton's a switch tackle. I think that he could, you know, he could stick. I think he'll stick around. The other guy, Brandon Sowell. When the Bears signed him, I didn't know who he was, so I went right to NFL.com and watched some tape on him, and he had some really poor snaps, a couple poor games. So I don't know how he's gonna turn out. He doesn't seem like a guy who's gonna really challenge anybody, but again, could he, you know, be a backup, or could he be on the practice squad as the next guy up? We'll see. Another questions on the Bears O-line, of course, is Hronis Grisou, tore his ACL at last Bears summer at the summer fest for the fans. That helped push Cody Whitehair to the starting center job, and we all know how that turned out. But there was an article or something I saw about, you know, Grisou said, you know, he was the best center in the NFL last year, and he taught him everything he knew, and he was kind of a mentor. So, again, do the Bears keep him on, as they're doing with Mark Sanchez, to the quarterbacks on the roster? We'll see. And then they also signed Taylor Boggs, another center, guard center slash guard kind of guy. So again, the more competition you can create at, you know, every spot on the roster is good, and it's something the Bears have done, you know, especially at the either at the O-line position or wide receiver or even defensive line with signing Jay Howard and John Jenkins. So the more competition, the better, because the best players will play.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what they could do with Grasso. I mean, I don't think they'll cut him because he's still got a bit of value on him. I could possibly see them trading him because I don't really see the purpose of having someone as a backup as straight on as a center when you can have a swing guy who can play guard and center, who can, you know, fill in more than one spot on the depth chart and also be a serviceable backup in case Whitehair goes down. So I haven't heard any rumors or anything regarding a trade for Grasso, but I could definitely see it happening.
Yeah, Grasso, you know, he started 2 seasons ago. He's got some – he probably does have some value. Again, like I talked about in my latest piece on WindyCityChronicle.com, I took some fan questions, and I talked about in the piece, you know, someone asked me, what's your 53-man roster? So I had to go through that for a little bit and find my guys. And one guy I left off the list was Zach Miller. I think I said that, you know, Deion Sims and Adam Shaheen and Daniel Brown will be – those guys are really going to are stepping up. They're going to have a good training camp and a good preseason, that where Zach Miller will have some value on him if he's healthy and the Bears could try and find a suitor for him, because every year – you know, a big player gets hurt in training camp or the preseason, and teams, you know, not necessarily go into panic mode, but they start looking around for guys. And Zach Miller, you know, he's got a lot of miles on him. He's got a lot of experience. He played well last season when he was healthy. So, again, same thing goes for Grasso. If a center goes down or some team's guard goes down and they're looking for a young lineman who is, you know, 100% healthy, like we hope Grasso is, you know, not only for us if he sticks around, but if for trade value purposes. So I think, yeah, like you said, Grasso and who I think Miller are two guys to watch who the Bears could possibly be shopping toward the end of camp and preseason, because, you know, teams will need them. You know, everyone thought when the Ravens, they lost, who was the Ravens tight end who got hurt? Can't think of his name right now. Yeah, Dennis Pitta got hurt. Now he's actually retired. So right away when that happened, I saw some Bears chatter from the fans, you know, let's see if the Ravens want to take Zach Miller. Because, of course, the Bears fans are all excited about Adam Shaheen, you know, 6'8", tight end, monster. And then Deion Sims, you know, athletic, young. You know, the Bears' goal is to obviously get younger, you know, in all the positions. So, yeah, Zach Miller could be a target for some teams. And I'm sure some teams probably have their eye on him already as long as he's healthy. Because last season, especially with Jay Cutler under center, he did produce some good games.
Yeah, I agree that Miller definitely had his moments of shining. I had him actually as one of the guys that could be on the roster bubble, like you were saying earlier. I mean, ultimately, I think he stays on, could get traded, but I think that he'll be the primary receiving option at the end while Sims sticks the block and Shaheen kind of develops a bit. I think that if Shaheen proves that he's ready and Sims, you know, in practice and training camp, I could see the Bears trying to move Miller possibly, because, you know, he's getting up there in age, but he's still proven that, you know, he's got a lot of fuel left in the tank and he's a viable receiving option for anyone who needs it.
Yeah, and there's a possibility Zach Miller could be on the roster bubble. He's only got a base salary of about $1.5 million, where the Bears have invested $6 million guaranteed in Deion Sims. So they obviously see him as a player who can block, of course, and be a receiving threat. You know, he's a versatile tight end, and you know, Ryan Pace thinks Adam Shaheen is going to be an impact player come day one. So I think the tight end position, along with a lot of other positions on the roster, is, you know, one to watch for, you know, not only the competitive level, but also who's going to step up and who could possibly bump out the older veteran.
Yeah, I agree that tight end is going to be something interesting to watch. And there are a couple of guys lower down in the depth chart, like Daniel Brown, Ben Broniker, and Michael Pruitt. All solid guys, but, I mean, I don't know if the Bears are going to keep all of them. Like, they could definitely find homes elsewhere, but, you know, there's a lot of competition at tight end. Like you said, at receiver, only there's a bit more clarity at tight end, and, you know, it's a bit deeper, I guess you could say. But, yeah, overall, I think it's going to be a really interesting competition with a lot of potential outcomes.
Yeah. And as we have the last 30 minutes of the podcast here, I'd like to talk about predict our breakout players for the season. First off, I'd like to start. One breakout player, I think, that is really due for a big season is Leonard Floyd. I think that his transition from year one to year two is going to really show up in his limited reps in preseason, along with once we hit, you know, the start of the regular season. Obviously putting on weight. I think he's up to around 250 now, which is a very healthy weight for an outside linebacker in today's 3-4. You obviously want to see that, you know, he's put on some thickness and his speed. He says he's, you know, feels a lot quicker later on his feet. It's good to say that, you know, he says he's healthy and, you know, both Pernell McPhee and Willie Young had good things to say about him in OTAs and mini camp. So I think, you know, he's breakout player. You know, he had a touchdown last year against the Packers. He had, you know, some notable sacks. You know, he had a big game for San Francisco in the snow at Soldier Field. So he had a lot of flashes of what he could be as a pro. You know, not so much consistency because, you know, he had those silly injuries here or there. But, you know, he had flashes of what he could be. And I think now that, you know, Vic Fangio has, you know, he's the defensive coordinator. He has taken the role of the outside linebackers coach. He's put a lot of time into those guys. And I think Fangio has brought out the best in a lot of players, especially, you know, like we saw with Tracy Porter. You know, he knows how to coach them up. He knows how to use guys to the best of their abilities. So I think Leonard Floyd is in that category of, a 10-sack season.
I agree that if he stays healthy, Leonard Floyd can definitely top double digits this year, because just building off of what he had last year, 7 sacks in, I believe, 12 games. So he wasn't even fully healthy for this season. So I think that if he's able to start a full 16 games, I don't know if he will, especially considering, you know, the issues he's been having with concussions. But I think if he's able to stay healthy for at least most of the season, he can definitely top up double-digit sacks this year.
Yeah, again, it all relates back to the health. The Bears did have trouble staying healthy. They had over, I think it was like 26 guys on the IR at the end of the season. You know, just crazy numbers. Yeah, it all relates to health. The two concussions, and it was like two concussions in like 34 or 36 days. It's something that, you know, that's tough to go through as a player, and I can only imagine what it's like to go through, you know, just sitting here today. But, you know, he's one of my breakout players. Jacob, who is one of your breakout players for the season?
One of the breakout players that I had was Marcus Cooper, and he was kind of more of a under-the-radar signing. Like, even though most of the Bears signings could be described as under the radar, like Quentin Demps and Prince Mukamara, guys like that. But Marcus Cooper is a guy that a lot of people tend to forget about when they're thinking about the starting lineup, because he was a Pro Bowl alternate last year. He didn't end up playing, but, you know, the fact that he was even in that conversation kind of shows the potential that he has. I believe he had 4 interceptions last year, so he's got that ball-hawking ability that the Bears really have been lacking over these past couple of years. So I think that if he's able to iron out a few consistencies, one thing that's also going to help out that I forgot is that in Arizona he had Patrick Peterson alongside him, and he was shutting everyone down, and all the quarterbacks were throwing balls his way. But I think that now that there isn't really a Patrick Peterson-level cornerback in Chicago, Marcus Cooper is going to have, you know, less pressure, and he'll be less prone to mistakes. So I think that if he's able to become more consistent, I can definitely see him being a long-term starter for the Bears.
Yeah, Marcus Cooper, good tape last season, had a couple interceptions. Definitely does fit that ball hawk category. If he's healthy, he was out of mandatory minicamp because he had an undisclosed soft tissue injury. So hopefully nothing serious. Yeah, he's an explosive cornerback. Definitely is a guy to vie for the starting job. He will definitely compete there along with Fuller, DeAndre Hall, Prince Mukamura, you know, Kervon LeBlanc, stuff, guys like those. Another breakout player that I wrote a piece about him. I said that he's going to start week one, but, you know, eventually if he doesn't start week one, I think he'll definitely start sometime at the point of the season, is Eddie Jackson. The way I see Eddie Jackson, he's a first-round talent. I think if he didn't get hurt, he'd definitely be a first-round guy. But due to the broken leg and, you know, the teams are scared of that, you know, they're not going to put their future on a guy who has a rod in his leg now, you know, at the first round. The Bears were lucky enough to get him in the fourth, and Ryan Pace traded up to get him. You know, I like everything about Eddie Jackson. I like his explosiveness, his range, he fits the ball hog category, and he's a punt returner. He can help you in the defensive side of the ball and punt return, you know, two phases of the game. So, you know, I think he's going to be the starting free safety come week one. He says he's 100% full go once training camp starts. And given the lackluster play of Adrian Amos the past two seasons, I'm not buying him starting. You know, he has no interceptions in his NFL career in two seasons. And he's been, you know, majority he's been healthy. You know, I'm not sold on him winning the job, given that Eddie Jackson, you know, has so much better tools and, physique that, he's going to stand out in camp. He's going to stand out to the coaches and, you know, possibly win the starting job. Do you think Jackson has a shot at the job?
I definitely think he has a shot, especially you were saying that Adrian Amos didn't necessarily – what was the thing? Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I was basically just trying to say that Adrian Amos didn't necessarily light it up last year. And like you noticed, the no interceptions for 2 years is a bit concerning because, especially for the Bears, they need that ball-hawking defensive back that can force turnovers. As shown by their additions of Quentin Demps and Marcus Cooper, especially. But, I mean, I don't think Jackson starts right away. I think it's possible, but I think that Jackson will end up starting at least by midseason. Just looking, because you're saying he has more tools, more physique, and he also has more upside overall. Because we've seen what Amos can do. He's been solid, but not, you know, great. Nothing that you can, you know, keep him in your plans about. So I think Jackson definitely has a shot. I don't know if he'll do it. I think he'll become a starter eventually. I just don't know when.
Yeah, Jackson definitely has, bigger upside. Amos, you know, he's not, you know, he doesn't have, you know, the best ball skills as we've seen in two seasons, no interceptions. You know, he's been a good run filler safety. You know, he doesn't really, you know, I don't really see a lot of giving up the big plays from him. You know, he's a solid safety, but again, you want to see those interception numbers. You want to see those forced fumble numbers from your starting safety. It's just what you expect as a fan, as a player, you know, and the coaching staff. It's what you want to see on the field on Sundays. So yeah, Jackson, he's definitely going to stand out in camp. I really think he's going to really stand out. It's all a matter of, you know, is he going to have any setbacks with his leg injury? Is he going to be able to grasp the defense? But, you know, I think he's going to challenge Amos right away. And, you know, he could possibly be the starter just given his range. And, you know, he's a guy I think that opposing offense set up the game plan against. I mean, if I was an offensive coach right now, I'm not too worried about Adrian Amos. But I'd be worried, you know, for a guy like Eddie Jackson with what his college tape has shown. And his overall, you know, ball skills and, you know, overall athleticism that he brings to the safety position.
Yeah, I have to agree there because, like, Eddie Jackson's college tape, especially before the injury, was impressive. But, yeah, I think he can eventually, start. Like I was saying earlier, I don't know if that's going to be right away, but I think at some point this year he will start, because I really like what I've seen out of him so far, and I definitely see starter caliber talent. Like you were saying, he was viewed as like a first-rounder, second-rounder before his injury at the beginning of the draft process this year. So I can definitely see him starting early on.
Before we transition to the end of the show, it looks like we have a caller. So let's take this guy's call, this person's call, and see if what questions they have to offer. Hello, welcome to the Windy City Chronicle podcast. Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Joe. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going, Joe? You got any Bears questions for us?
I sure do. I got a few. I got one or two. So first, you know, I didn't listen to the whole show, but I listened to most of it. We have a big quarterback battle going on with Trubisky and Glennon. Where do you, you know, obviously Trubisky is your future quarterback, you know, your long-term,
yeah,
your franchise quarterback. But you hear so many people on ESPN and stuff like that, you hear them talking about how he's not ready. And I tend to agree with that. We also don't want to keep him held back because he's such a great talent and has so much potential, and you don't want to waste that number two pick. So what, who do you start week one versus who do you start week 12?
Jacob, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I can take this one. I think it really depends on where the Bears are in the season, because I think Glennon's going to start week one, because it's very rare that a quarterback is able to start in week one when they're a rookie. So I think Glennon will start off eventually. I think that if Glennon isn't necessarily lighting the world on fire, then I say start Trubisky if they think he's ready, because I think they shouldn't force him to get onto the field, but I feel that when he gets ready, experience is very valuable for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see Trubisky starting near the end of the year. I think he'll definitely end up starting a couple of games. You know, this is pretty much going to be Glennon's year, but I can see Trubisky starting about 3 or 4 games, possibly more if Glennon goes down with an injury. Yeah, I'd say start with Glennon, but if Glennon doesn't impress and you feel Trubisky's ready, don't be afraid to pull the trigger.
To add on to that, so far, it's been all good reports for Trubisky out of OTAs and minicamp, improving every day. And, you know, we saw it last year with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, how they were going to take more of this mentor approach, you know, let him sit for a year and learn the offense. But all of a sudden, he ends up starting, given that the Eagles didn't have much competition. Mike Glennon, you know, he's a good quarterback, but he hasn't, you know, been on the field in a long time. He hasn't started a game in quite some time. So, you know, you really wonder, is he, you know, he could be in the football shape in camp and OTAs, but when it comes to the preseason and he's going to get some snaps, is he going to be able to, you know, grasp the offense? You know, once training camp and the pads get on, is he going to be able to deliver the passes he's throwing now and just helps? You know, it all depends on the competition. And I really think, Glennon's called it his year and Glennon has the guaranteed money. But what if Trubisky really does stand out in camp? And what if he actually does, you know, push Glennon aside and say, you know, I'm the show in Chicago. I'm the quarterback that should be starting. You know, and again, saw it in with the Rams, you know, they were not going to play Jared Goff, but they had no other choice given the circumstances and the competitiveness they had of their other quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, and I think where do you think Trubisky is? Do you think he's, you know, a talent that could be, you know, a Carson Wentz who can make an immediate impact? Or do you think he's more a Jared Goff who did not look ready for the big time at all?
Yeah, obviously Goff didn't look didn't look very good. That comes also with the poor weapons he did have around him in St. Louis. I think that he was not in the best spot to, you know, he entered the season late. You know, there was not a lot of guys to throw to. Didn't have the best offensive line, and Todd Gurley really didn't have a good season. And it's the same thing with the Bears. You know, the Bears really don't have a lot of threats. And, you know, do you really want to play Trubisky toward the end of the season when maybe you're a 4 or 5 win team and you're throwing him in the fire to a, you know, a possible O-line that's banged up, you know, so one of the top wide receivers goes down. You know, you really don't want to throw him into a bad situation. I think that's another reason why, you know, they brought in Mike Glennon. You know, we all thought the Bears, we all knew the Bears were going to have to get a QB somewhere in the draft. We just didn't know it was that two. So depending on where they were get their QB, are they going, you know, is he going to start week one or is he going to sit? But it's the overall plan that Pace set was that we're going to get a QB and we're going to let him develop. So I think that if you're really going for the whole developmental thing, that you let him sit the entire year, and just like and let Glennon run the show, even when it becomes a dumpster fire, because even though you want to give the guy experience and he's your franchise quarterback, you don't want to throw him into the fire right away, especially if again, like if you're a 4 or 5 win team.
Sure.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
agree.
Well,
I think that.
No, go ahead.
I can just add a little bit here. I think that Trubisky in the end will end up a bit between where Goff and Wentz were. Because just comparing Trubisky to Goff, I feel like Trubisky's a bit more pro ready than Goff. Just because of the whole system fact that, you know, Goff coming from primarily a spread system in college. And, Trubisky doesn't have great weapons either. I'd say they're better than what Goff had his first year in Los Angeles. Offensive line in Chicago is definitely better, so I think that would help out. But then again, I don't think that Trubisky is going to end up like Carson Wentz in his first week that, you know, Eagles traded away Sam Bradford and Wentz just so happened, you know, to have a lot of promise. But I think, yeah, I think he'll end up in between those two. I don't think he'll, you know, necessarily light it up, be like offensive rookie of the year level type of, you know, production. But I think, like I said earlier, that he'll end up starting a couple of games. It's, you know, mostly Glennon's year. But like I said, I can see Trubisky having a solid season, but mostly in spurts.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. You don't know with this Bears team. You don't know. You know, there's been a lot of question marks, especially with John Fox in town. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs and a lot of things you don't know and a lot of things, you know, a lot of possibilities. And, you know, again, right now we're looking at a team who won 3 games last season. So, again, the outline of, you know, the outline of success is not there right now, you know, considering the past couple seasons. But, yeah, I think it is Mike Glennon's year. He said it's his year. The Bears are going to put him in there. The Bears signed him for a reason. They threw him all that guaranteed money for a reason. And, we very good will see Trubisky, but, you know, it all depends. I would even think that if Mike Glennon were to get hurt, I still don't know if the Bears are really going to play Trubisky. You know, it really seems like they're really set on this developmental thing. And, you know, we've seen it work with, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, they're sitting behind greats. You know, Mike Glennon's not a great, but if you put him behind someone who knows the game, who's been, you know, through the ups and downs, you know, it should help him out in the future.
I completely agree. There's not much more to say, really.
Joe, thanks for the call. Have a good day, man.
You too. Thank you.
So as we get to the last part of the show, I gave my two breakout players. Jacob, is there anybody else you think is going to have a breakout season?
Oh, yeah. I have two more guys on my list. I was thinking one of them, I have Eddie Goldman. You know, he had a pretty good rookie season, but he failed to follow up on that in his second year, mostly due to injury. I feel that like, he proved that he can be one of the better nose tackles in the league. Like, even in his rookie year, he proved to be an above-average nose tackle. I think that if he's able to stay healthy this season, he can form a formidable defensive line with Hicks and Howard, and he can prove that powerful, stout style of play that had him so highly touted coming out of college.
Yeah, I agree. I like Goldman a lot. Yeah, he's got to show what he did his rookie season. But again, the Bears could have one of the most dangerous front sevens in the league. I truly believe that, given Akiem Hicks' success last season and Willie Young, Leonard Floyd, and Pernell McPhee, when all healthy and on the field, they did some damage. So, yeah, the Bears' defense is definitely taking steps forward. So, yeah, it all, you know, the front seven, again, could be dangerous. And, yeah, he could have a breakout season.
And the last guy I have on here is actually Kevin White. I feel that he's only played four games in two seasons, so people, you know, have already put on that bust label, I mean, and they're kind of counting him out that, all right, he's not going to reach his full potential, might as well just move on to the next guy. I think that there's still a glimmer of hope for him. I think that, you know, staying healthy obviously is a key component to his performance because he's going to have that fourth-year option coming up. And, like, if I'm the Bears and I had to make that decision right now, I would not give him that fifth-year option, I should say. But I think that, you know, given the lack of a true number one, I think that this could be White's year to finally show the league what he was made out of. Because if you remember, he started off the year kind of slow, but in those last couple of games, like weeks three and four, I believe, he was really showing some promise, and he was, you know, showing that, hey, this guy might be worthy of that number seven spot he was picked at. So I think, you know, health is a key component, but if he's able to stay healthy, I think that he could be able to have that breakout season and prove all the doubters wrong.
I'm definitely still a fan of Kevin White. We saw, again, like you said, last season we saw some spark of his potential. You know, he's still under, until he shows that he's still under a limited route tree. You know, he really didn't do many, you know, he didn't really have any diversity of routes at West Virginia. You know, it was a lot of go routes because he was one of the fastest guy in college at the time. You know, 4.3 speed, send him out on a fly route and go, throw the ball up to him with his height and his length. He can go up and get that 50-50 ball. But in the NFL, it's a lot different. You're playing against, you know, all-pro and Super-winning corners week in, week out. So I think with him, you know, we saw a lot of short routes, a lot of slants, a lot of digs, crossers, you know, stuff to get him in the open field and make defenders miss. But I think one route that really, you know, could – where he's going to get a lot of touches this year and a lot of yards is probably the bubble screen, putting him out in the slot and, you know, having him run behind blockers. Or even the Bears ran, I think, one or two, you know, reverses with them last year. You know, using his speed to their advantage is the best they're going to get out of Kevin White. Of course, you're always going to have the deep ball mixed in there, but bubble screen, slants, reverses, stuff like that, get him in space with his 4.3 speed that hopefully he still has, which is a report out of minicamp that he was at full speed doing drills full speed. Very good sign. It's something that, you know, will help his development and his ability to help the Bears offense.
Yeah, I agree that the Bears really should try and make use of his athleticism if it's still there, which, you know, like you said, it sounds like it still is, because his athleticism and his size were primarily the two biggest reasons he was so highly touted coming out of West Virginia. But one problem I remember that he had was that he didn't have much of a developed route tree. And I think that if he's going to want to break out, he's going to have to, you know, improve his route running a bit, diversify what he's able to run. And like you said, just get him in the open field, because once he has the ball in his hands, he's dangerous.
I agree. Nearing the end of the show here. Again, Jacob, it was great having you on. Always good talking Bears with a fellow writer.
Yeah, thank you for having me on again. I had a great time. Looking forward to talking a bit more this offseason.
Yeah, you know, whereas we're around a month away from camp, this is one of the most, I'd say, boring times in the NFL offseason. You know, not much going. You know, a lot of, as you know, as us writers, we do a lot of opinion pieces, or what you're doing with the 30-day challenge is very cool. You know, it's a lot of participation and ideas, you know, but it's not, you know, solely focused around the news in the NFL. You know, it's a very, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of happenings going on right now in the NFL. So, you know, everyone's on the countdown to training camp. So, yeah, we'll definitely have some more podcasts soon, you know, as we'll get closer to training camp, you know, about the roster and if any other news comes out. Are you listening? Jacob Infante is on Twitter at JacobInfante24. Remember, he writes for the Windy City Iron. He is a national editor for Cover 32, and he's the Bulls managing editor for the new website, Roto Den. I highly suggest you give him a follow. Mm-hmm. He has a very good following right now and a lot of great articles out, a lot of good Bears knowledge, as you've heard on the show today. And he's definitely going to be a reoccurring guest on the future shows to come.
Thank you. Again, yeah, I'm looking forward to popping on the podcast a bit more times and, you know, just talking Bears, because that's just fun to do when there's not much else going on at this time of the year.
I agree. Talking Bears is one of the things that we enjoy. So, Jacob, again, thanks for coming on, and have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
That was Jacob Infante. Jacob Infante is on Twitter at JacobInfante24. Go give him a follow, Bears fans and anybody listening. He's a really good follow, really great guy. Again, he's doing this 30-day challenge with Windy City Gridiron. It's something great to follow. It's, you know, something different. You know, it's not reading the news every day that, you know, maybe the ESPN or somebody else already put out. And this is something that Windy City Gridiron started, and they get a lot of fan participation with it. You know, it's something different. It gets the readership up and stuff like that. You know, today he has a post on one player on another team that I would really love on the Bears. And, you know, while it might be a dream, you know, it's definitely something that's going to get people to click on and something to read and something different that, you know, is not, you know, in the day-to-day news. Quick talk about WindyCityChronicle.com. We have a brand new writer to WindyCityChronicle.com for all, as some of you already may know, Patrick Blaha. I actually attended the same high school and with Pat. He's a really good friend of mine, diehard White Sox fan. So he has joined us on WindyCityChronicle.com as a White Sox writer. His first post is up. It's called The Reconstruction Era. He talks about the prospects in the loaded White Sox farm system, which will become even more loaded once the trade deadline hits. And he will also be doing a weekly White Sox report, like we do with Alex Pat, our Cubs writer, every Monday. We'll have Pat's White Sox report every Monday as well. I have a new post up on Windy City Chronicle. I will retweet it after the show. I took some fan questions on Twitter, talking about the 53-man roster, some starting wide receivers and defensive backs. I talked Kyle Lawn, Danny Trevathan-Telfe, and a couple more talking points. So you can go there and see my opinion, along with the news, the latest news surrounding those players and position groups. So again, thank you for tuning in to the Windy City Chronicle. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Windy City Chronicle podcast with myself and Jacob Infante. Had a good time talking Bears. Again, we'll have Jacob on again very soon, as we will, you know, hit up more podcasts as we are in the summer break of the NFL. Training camp cannot come soon enough for the fans, the players, and everyone surrounding the NFL. Definitely an exciting time, and again, every day is one day closer to football. So again, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Windy City Chronicle podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Gibbons. Have a good day.